welcome to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast, hosted on the Daily Grind Cycling Journal. Visit us on the web at tailwind-coaching.com or like us on Facebook at Tailwind Coaching. And now, your host, Coach Rob.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. I am your host, Coach Rob, and I got a good show for you today. As we get into the cold fall months here in the Northeast, actually, we're getting close to November as I'm recording this podcast. As we get into these colder fall and getting into the winter months, it's time to start thinking about what we do for our off season, or, as we'll listen today, maybe why we shouldn't even take an off season per se. All right, we're going to get right to that, but first I have the usual announcements and comments and all the rest of the stuff. I'm going to have the Bat and Kill training plan up and running soon enough. The Bat and Kill training plan that I'm going to have up soon. The preview ride happened not too long ago, and interestingly enough, some of the people who wrote it said that this route is actually probably one of the most challenging routes that they have ever put forth. There is a new climb, a new dirt climb on the route this year. That new climb comes right basically before Meeting House Road. For those of you who are familiar with Tour of the Bat and Kill, you will certainly know the route, and you will know that probably one of the main changes and main challenges comes at Meeting House Road. That's sort of where the race is either won or lost, as it was last year in several of the fields. Interestingly enough, there is a new climb, a dirt climb, mind you, put in before Meeting House Road, and it's actually probably the hardest climb on the entire route. And that is not taking anything lightly. It's still a very difficult route, but that is probably the hardest climb that is available to that route. I have very, very reliable people who've ridden that, who've actually placed very well at Bat and Kill in the past, telling me that that climb is it's a grinder. It's very steep. He was almost off and walking. He watched several people off and walking who are in very good shape. And mind you, this is the guy who placed very close to the podium on his very first edition of the Bat and Kill. Okay, so he's not a Bush League racer by any matter of means, but it's still a very, very difficult climb for a very, very difficult race. So, all that being said, I will be adjusting my Bat and Kill training plans, and those will be available very soon. I hope to, in fact, my plan is to release them on Bat and Kill registration day, actually. So keep an eye out for that. For those of you who are emailing me looking for consults or other information, coachrobdc@gmail.com, or you can find me through the website, tailwind-coaching.com. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of me, whether it is Twitter, whether it's the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page, whether it's via email, via Strava, etc., etc. If you're emailing me, I am actually quite busy right now, so it may take an extra day or two to get back to you. I believe I'm caught up with everybody who's emailed me at this point, however, so the queue shouldn't be that long. If you're looking for consults or one-on-one coaching, go ahead and email me. I am opening up two slots for one-on-one coaching. If you are looking for training plans, here's going to be a little announcement, folks. I'm going to have an ongoing coupon code on my website. Enter if you're going to buy training plans, if you're going to purchase any of my pre-built plans or my high-intensity trainer session, workout sessions, you can take 10% off of those trainer sessions, provided you're listening to this podcast. It's probably the only way you're going to hear about it, unless, you know, couponguru.com or Retail Me Not or any of those other things gets a hold of it. Enter the code PODCAST10, PODCAST10, the number 10, at checkout, and it'll take 10% off your entire order. So that's a little bit of a thank you for those of you who are listening to this podcast. Now, as a little bit of thank you, I have a request of all of you who are listening to this podcast. Go over to iTunes, visit the Tailwind Coaching Podcast on iTunes, and rate this podcast. If you like what you're hearing, please rate it 5 stars. It helps me climb the ratings a little bit, helps me get more information out to more people, and it shows that all of you out there who are listening really love what I'm providing to you, and you wish me to keep providing that to you. Remember, I don't get paid for anything like this, for doing any of this podcast. I would love to, and I'd love to give, I'm working on doing a few giveaways, things like that, if I can get some folks on board with that in the future. So a lot of stuff going on here at Tailwind Coaching, and hopefully a lot of stuff that will really reach you, the listener, in the near future. Updating training and things like that. Again, as I said on my last podcast, my training for the season is done. I am in the, quote, as the bug strikes me, I ride kind of mode. I will ride to have a cup of coffee. I will ride to maybe go to get a pastry or something like that, or to see the fall foliage, but there's not much else happening in terms of riding for me. Updating on the Quark situation, those of you, again, who have listened to the podcast and have watched the blog, know again that I'm on my 4th Quark. Again, that model is still going strong. I kind of feel like this is a almost a radio bit, you know, the Quark watch. See when the Quark actually finally dies. But anyway, I digress. The Quark is still in one piece. It still reads just fine. And that is about that. So no other real announcements that I have to get involved with. So I'm going to take a quick break, I'm going to grab my show notes, and I'm going to get into the meat of today's show, which is, quote, the not-so-off-season, and why you should not be taking an off-season. All right, welcome back with the not-so-off-season show. First thing we're going to tackle, or first thing I'm going to tackle here, is why we shouldn't be taking a true off-season. Why we should only be taking a reduced season for a certain period of time. The main reason behind the off-season idea or concept is the fact that we have been indoctrinated into a training paradigm which is more appropriate for professional cyclists. We see and we try to emulate the things that pro cyclists do, and unfortunately, we are not pro cyclists. At least most of us that are listening to this probably aren't pro cyclists. If you happen to be one, please drop me an email and let me know. That would be pretty cool. I'd like to pick your brains about a few things. But anyway, back to the topic at hand. Most of us are not really professional riders. We don't train 5 hours a day for 40 or 35 hours a week or whatever the case may be. We don't do base miles for 3 months on end, prepping to ride for 6, 7, 8 hours at a time in the saddle. That's just not what we do. Most of us are not professionals. Again, most of us don't train like professionals. Now, professionals who are racing between 60 and 90 days a year, and who are on their bikes probably about 300 days a year, in their case, an off season where they actually put their feet up and do a little bit of a little core work, a little bit of cross training, that makes entire sense to them. For an amateur who's on their bike between 5 and 15 hours a week, and maybe racing 10 to 15 times, maybe 12 to 15, 10 to 15 times a year, that is not really high enough of a training load or high enough of a load on our body to necessitate taking a full off-season. And the off season being like 2 months of putting your feet up, drinking beer, and getting fat. Although I digress again, I am in that mode a little bit now. However, I'm still sprinkling the riding in. But the main thing is pros take an off season for a reason. Rhymes very nicely. That reason is simply the fact that they have basically beaten their body into a state of basically a state where they are consistently drained and they need that time to recover. Most of us as amateurs are, again, only training 10 to 15 hours a week. We are only racing 12 to 15 times a year, unless you're one of the crazy people who goes through and does cross and TT and road and crit and track and everything else. And we have jobs to attend to. We have jobs to go to. We have family to attend to. We have home issues to do, all sorts of different things that professionals really don't have to do. All right. So the bottom line here and the basis of this discussion is we've been indoctrinated to train like a pro. Unfortunately, if we're not a pro and we're not training like a pro, why should we be using professional recovery strategies? And by a professional recovery strategy, I'm not talking about space legs. I'm not talking about ice baths. I'm talking about taking 2 months off. If we don't have the amount of stress on our body that a pro does, excuse me, I've still got a little bit of a lingering cough. If we don't have the stress on our body that a professional rider does, why do we take an off season like a professional rider does? The simple answer is we shouldn't. Off seasons were designed to give a prolonged period of rest and recovery for someone who put so much intensity into their body that they simply could not continue to ride and race through a quote off season. So if we're not racing as much as a professional does, how much recovery do we really need? Well, we don't need as much as they do. That's blatantly obvious. A very good rule is, at least my rule of thumb, is you should be doing at least an hour of active recovery for an hour of, or an hour of recovery for every hour you train. So if you're training for 15 hours a week, you should be doing about 15 hours of lighter duty work or relaxation. If you're training for 40 hours a week, as most pros do, they're doing about 40 hours a week of sleeping and recovering and resting and everything else. Okay? Excuse me again. Typical athletes, typical amateur athletes, are very short of training time and long on recovery time, even though they have other stresses in their lives, such as their home, such as their family, such as their job. Those traditional amateur athletes are short on their training time and they're long on recovery time or non-training time. Let's say non-training time, more likely. As a result of that amateur athlete paradigm, amateur athletes have to work very, very specifically and very hard to gain fitness and to improve in their fitness endeavors. Now, the biggest problem with any prolonged layoff, especially for an amateur athlete, is that they will lose a large chunk of that fitness that they spent a lot of precious time and very specific time building. You will have experienced this yourself after taking, say you go on vacation for 2 weeks. You go to the Keys, you go to the Caribbean, you go to Aruba, and you spend 2 weeks, seeing the sights, sitting on the beach, maybe even having a margarita or two or a dark and stormy or whatever. You spend 2 weeks away from your bike. You come back and that first ride back, it just sucks. You sit there and on that saddle and you're just going, God, what happened to me in the last 2 weeks? The body is an interesting thing. Physiologically, if you ask it to do something, for example, if you ask your body to pedal a bike hard, your body, what you are asking it to do, pedaling that bike hard, exceeds your body's capability of pedaling that bike, your body doesn't like that. Your body will actually work after the fact to build itself up because your body says, I didn't like being stressed to that point. I need to work harder, build myself up higher so that the next time that happens, I do not feel as bad as I did this time. That is the training stress adaptation response. Overstress the body recovers and builds itself stronger for the next time. Now, what happens if you stop that process, if you stop that repetition? Well, when you stop that repetition, your body says to itself, geez, I haven't had to pedal that bike hard for 2 weeks. I don't really need to maintain all of these blood cells, all of this muscle tissue, all of these mitochondria, little powerhouses in the muscle cell, for those of you who are not high on physiology. A brain fart there for a moment. I had to think that through a little bit. It doesn't have to maintain it. It's not going to attempt to maintain it. Maintaining all of those powerhouses in your cells, all that muscle tissue, all those red blood cells, all of that takes energy. Your body is in a constant state of entropy. It's trying to shed anything that it absolutely does not need to maintain. That's why as you start to sit on the beach for a few weeks, you start to lose your fitness. And you lose the top end stuff first, and then eventually you will erode your aerobic fitness. All right? So now take that 2 weeks and stretch that out to 2 months. All right? The typical professional off-season being 2 months, can you imagine the fitness you as an amateur athlete would lose in a two-month layoff? Think about it. Thought about it? Good. Now, do you think that's a good idea? Raise your hand if you think yes. And I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing nobody. Bear in mind, I'm in here alone. I'm in my studio alone. So I'm the only one here and I'm not raising my hand. So 100% of people say, no, that's not a good idea. But anyway, the big question now that we're not taking our off season, or we've realized that taking a two-month off season is a bad idea, the real question is, how do we prevent that fitness loss while still taking some time away from the bike to refresh ourselves and work on our muscular strength and our core stability and all of those other good things that we use our off season for? I'll explain that right after this quick break. So, talking about preventing fitness loss, how do we avoid that loss in fitness that we get not only from a two-week stint on the beach, but maybe a two-month stint that you've done in the past? Well, the number one thing to do is you need to avoid that little voice in your head that says, I need to stop riding. I need to sit on the couch. I need to do nothing. All right, you need to stop that. You need to get that out of your head. But the big question is, how do you do it? I am with you 100% of the way in saying that, yes, it's going to be very difficult to keep your motivation up throughout the winter, throughout the fall, throughout the winter. But there are a couple things you can do, okay? Number one, you can go for rides with no training directions, no training goals, no intervals, no nothing. You could go so far as to say, this is the one time in the season where the donut ride or the coffee shop ride is exactly what the coach is calling for, okay? By going out without goals, without training plans, without goals, you sort of get to take in the sights and see what is around you, all right? You can avoid the number watching that so many people end up doing while they are deep in a training plan. And you can enjoy the scenery. You can enjoy what's happening around you, what you see around you. All right. Many, many times when we've got our nose to the stem, we really have no idea what's going on next to us, what we're passing by. You may have never noticed that beautiful old stone house or that old ruined mansion. Shameless plug for a previous blog post of mine, Ruined Rhinebeck, Cycling Through Time. That's a perfect example. I spent so much time training when I was living in Red Hook that I never even knew that there was a beautiful, beautiful early 1900s mansion ruined right down the street from me, and urban ruins to me are fascinating, but I never knew that because every time I went by that particular area, I was so enamored with my training plan, my numbers, my power numbers, that I never stopped to take notice. It wasn't until I basically had stopped riding for a season, or stopped training, I should say, for a season, and just started riding for fun, that I realized there was a whole world around me and around these routes that I had trained on, but never really stopped to look at. So that's a great, great benefit of this time of year, is you can actually enjoy what's going on around you. You can also spend a lot of time learning to ride by feel. Now, learning to ride by feel is something that's takes quite a while to undertake, takes a lot of time to understand how to do properly, but it is absolutely, absolutely valuable. In race situations, in group ride situations, you don't always have time to look down at your power numbers, and many times you really shouldn't look down at your power numbers to see what's going on. You need to learn how to ride by feel. Learn to feel what your various zones feel like. Learn to become in tune with your body. How does my body feel? And then after the fact, look at your numbers, see where you were. And in speaking of numbers, now that you are going for non-training rides, keep it mellow, okay? The biggest issue I see with my athletes and any cyclists that I ride with in the fall and winter season, if they're not actively training, they're going too hard, all right? Guys, save the zone four average rides for your builds periods and your peak periods. You shouldn't be doing rides where you are within 5% of your threshold average for the ride. That's way too much. All right, you guys, if you're going to be doing this kind of not so off-season plan, want to keep your rides in the upper zone two, low to mid zone three areas on average. In this case, what you're mostly trying to do is maintain your aerobic fitness that you spent so much time building. Granted, your top-end fitness will start to decline, and that's okay. You're going to let some of that fitness go so that you can get some rest, get some relaxation, and let your let your mental outlook change and improve so that you get hungry again. But you want to maintain as much of that aerobic base and zone 3 base as possible. So I do advise that you go out, and this is one of the very few times that I will say this, Zone 2 and Zone 3, that's okay. In fact, that's a good thing about this time of year. So make note of that. That's one of the very few times you're ever going to hear me say that. All right. So how else do you prevent that fitness loss other than doing those non-training rides? Well, guys, it's getting to be winter really soon here in the Northeast. What about indoor training? Now, that's right. I know everybody hates indoor training. Honestly, if you hate indoor training, get yourself a set of rollers. You won't hate it quite as much anymore. That'll be an entirely new challenge for you. And I guarantee that will be something that will keep you busy for a good portion of the winter. However, back to my commentary on on preventing fitness loss. Riding indoors is a great way to do it. It's also a great way to start your training plans for the next season. But you can get incredible gains in your pedal stroke efficiency. You can smooth out your pedal stroke. You can increase your gross efficiency by working on rollers. As I just said, rollers are an entirely new challenge. However, they are a great indoor training tool. They're a great way to prevent your fitness from from disappearing during the winter months. In most cases, you are not going to be doing threshold-type efforts on rollers. There's simply not enough resistance unless you have an attachable resistance unit, something like a power cycle ops unit or the Kreitler headwind fan, something like that. You're not going to have a lot of resistance from a set of rollers. So most of your work is going to be in that zone 2, zone 3 area. And you can get a lot of very beneficial efficiency work done on that, on the rollers. You can do muscular endurance work on the trainer. Muscular endurance work on a trainer is grotesquely boring. I will admit that to you. However, get yourself some nice racing videos, get yourself some racing DVDs, things like that, that you can keep an eye on and watch while you mindlessly pedal at 65 RPM under high tension for 20, 30, 40 minutes at a clip. Or alternatively, you can try some of my high-intensity trainer sessions, which will help to build that. Or my modular plans will help that as well. But back to shameless self-promotion aside, let's get back to the commentary. You can also, in your winter months, consider core training work, stability work, cross-training work. Those kind of things, while they have their own benefits in strengthening your body, strengthening your core, strengthening your stability, improving your stability. And it's hard to strengthen your stability. But improving your stability, mainly what it does, it gives you an out. It gives you an alternative to sitting on the bike and doing trainer work. It keeps your mental outlook very fresh. It helps you to maintain your fitness while really basically setting your bike aside and staying away from it for a little while. In many, many cases, people absolutely have to have that. Otherwise, they hit the spring and suddenly they really don't even want to ride anymore. And if you have a specific training goal, not wanting to ride is really the death knell for your hopes and dreams in the coming racing season. So keeping your outlook fresh is a very, very important thing to consider. And along the same lines of keeping your outlook and your mental outlook fresh, you can absolutely learn to love riding again. All right. Keep in mind that training is very much like a job. Okay. And many people have said this, many athletes have said this, and professionals have said this for years. In fact, there was a very recent article from, I think it was in Bicycling Magazine. Michael Berry was talking about how when training becomes so tedious that you don't want to do it. Well, that's kind of what happens to amateur athletes, even through a long season. When riding a bike becomes more like a job, it stops being fun. And if it stops being fun, it's hard to motivate yourself to get out there and do it. Okay? So to prevent that, if you're out in the fall and you are starting to train, or even in the early winter and you're starting to train, consider doing some more adventurous rides. Try going down roads you've never been down. Go over to Ride with GPS and just plot out a route of roads that you've never been on and see what comes up, see what happens. Don't be afraid to just take that turn down that unpaved road. I talked about gravel grinding in my last podcast, and I had some very positive comments from that podcast. Do not be afraid to just take whatever bike you have and wander down any road that you happen to come across. Now, granted, there are a few roads that when they say impassable to vehicles or impassable to cars, maybe you shouldn't go down those roads, and I've been down some of them in the past. It's not pretty, and it will tear the shit out of the bottom of your carbon shoes. So learn from my experience. If a car can't go there, you probably can't either. as I had mentioned earlier, go out for that espresso ride with your buddies. Head to the coffee shop. Ride out to get cider donuts. This past weekend, under the beautiful sunny skies, I decided, you know what? It's a good day to go out. I need a goal. So I rode up to the local farm / cider mill / horrific child-infested corn maze. Hey, listen, here in New Jersey, tourist traps like that are an entirely different world, okay? It's not the fact of the children are bad. However, the tourists are not very conducive or very friendly to the locals. So, yeah. But anyway, riding for cider donuts is a tiny little pleasure of mine, and a cup of coffee. That's a tiny little pleasure of mine. So setting little goals and small things like that that give you a reward for riding are not necessarily a bad thing this time of year. So that leads me, actually that's a perfect segue, cider donuts is a perfect segue into tracking your diet to ensure that you don't lose all of your fitness over the winter. Remember, you are not riding as many miles. You're not riding as many hours. However, your body has been conditioned over the last 9 to 10 months, especially if you're like me, to consume a certain number of calories. And that certain number of calories is based on the fact that you are expending calories in your training plan. You're riding a lot. So you have a desire to eat a lot. Folks, you cannot eat like a cyclist if you're not a cyclist. And what I mean by that is during your, quote, off season, if you are not riding as much, you cannot eat as much. Or you cannot get away with eating the same things. Be careful of things like donuts, beer, okay, pizzas, generally unprocessed, or I should say generally processed, foods and carbohydrates. They are basically empty calories that your body does not need and will not be able to burn off very quickly because you are really not riding as much as your body thinks you are. All right. Remember how your body will stop trying to maintain muscle tissue, mitochondria, blood cells, blood volume, etc., etc., if it doesn't need to. Well, if you stop riding, your body doesn't need to maintain that. However, your mind and your biochemistry has you set on a certain number of calories from your racing season. You have to be very, very careful to stop with those empty calories that you were able to get away with during the season. All right. Making smart choices in your diet, things that will help fill you up and keep you full will help you to not eat those excess calories. Increase your protein and fat intake, things that increase your fiber intake, eating a lot more leafy vegetables, steamed vegetables, things like that, things that will fill you up and help you to stay full. Will prevent you from reaching for that bag of chips while you're watching the Giants lose. I apologize to my Giant fans out there. Make smart choices is the key to that entire thing. All right. Don't overstuff yourself after you complete a workout. Now, if you're out there, for example, doing kettlebells, or you're just finished a session on the trainer, a 50 or 60 minute session on the trainer, you're likely to be quite hungry. Don't stuff yourself. Resist the urge to stuff yourself after you've completed a workout. I can't tell you how many times I have gotten off the bike, even if it's only a 20-mile or one-hour workout or whatever the case is, and I've had the desire to mow down half of a pizza. It is one of the hardest things to prevent and to restrict yourself and stop doing, but not doing that will pay dividends down the road. And the more you're able to resist doing things like that, honestly, the easier it will be to resist doing things like that each and every time you get off the bike. So remember that. You're not burning as many calories in your winter rides as you are during your build periods or your peak periods or your racing. So there's no need to put as many calories back. Moderate your calories a little bit, and you'll find that your fitness will not only not decrease, but will be much easier to maintain and increase when the actual season starts to roll around. All right. So the bottom line here, despite all the stuff we've talked about, through loving your bike again and boosting your indoor training skills, through throwing away your training for a couple of months, tracking your diet, all of that basically boils down to the fact that you do not want to waste this 2, 3, 4, 5 months. Whatever your off season is, you don't want to waste it. 2 months can wreak havoc on your fitness, especially the fitness that you as a professional who has a job and a family, that 2 or 3 months will destroy the fitness you spent so much energy building. All right. Remember, it takes a lot of energy to build fitness. It takes no energy to destroy it. Keep that in mind. All right. If you put so much energy into doing well, why let it go to waste? All right. Your off season should not be an off season. Honestly, I really wish that people would change their outlook and even change the way they talk about it. It shouldn't be an off season. It should be a pre-season. Because the next 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 months is where you're going to lay your base and your foundations for success next year. All right, I'm going to say it again. The next 2 to 5 months is where you're going to lay the base or the foundation for your successes in the next racing season. All right, don't neglect your base training. And again, this is the only time I'm going to tell you that mindless Zone 2 and Zone 3 rides are really the name of the game and they are the order of the day. Don't neglect your base building. Don't neglect your core and strength and stability. Don't neglect your technique, your skills, your speed skills, your pedal stroke work. You know, if you have to have a bike fit, now is the time to do it, so that you can spend some time inside getting familiar with your bike fit and finding out if it works for you or if it doesn't work for you. All right. And lastly, your preseason is very important to your fitness for the next season. Avoid the intensity trap. Now, I know this will sound at odds to what I preach on a daily basis. Most of my training plans are designed for those of you who are very short of time. There's a lot of intensity built into a lot of my training plans, but I implore you, avoid the intensity trap, all right? The intensity trap, basically, with in a very quick summary, I will spend more time on this in a future blog post or podcast. The intensity trap is simply a case of too much intensity too soon and breaking your body down way too early in the training process. All right. There's no need to be doing zone 4, zone 5, zone 6 level work in the preseason. There's no need to be doing significant amounts of zone 4, zone 5, zone 6 level work in your base period. All right. And base periods, we're talking about somewhere between January and February. Preseason, we're talking about November, December. So if you're not even starting your base until January, why would you be doing high-intensity work right now? All right? Exactly. It doesn't make sense. Do not get caught in the intensity trap. You will be one of those racers who disappears about mid-May with half of a racing season left to go. You're going to be sitting there. You're going to be sitting on the couch going, God, I feel like shit, and I don't know why. And I would bet money if you look back on your training and on your fitness, you will find that for some reason, you started going way too hard, way too early. Now, there's absolutely definitely a caveat to that, and that certainly is if you are racing early, early, early season things, much like Tour of the Bat and Kill, you need that early season intensity. However, I'm still going to say this, you do not need it now. You don't need it in the preseason. Your intensity can certainly wait until February and March. You shouldn't be doing it now. All right. So the take-home message here, folks, is there is no such thing as an off-season. Remember that. I implore you to remember that. Those of you who are around the world who are entering that, quote, off-season, or as I like to call it, the preseason, remember this. Remember the things we talked about or the things that I talked about in this podcast. Those are the things that are going to get you through this preseason, keep your mental outlook fresh, and keep that fitness that you spent so much time and so much energy to build in the last season. Remember, if you want to be stronger next season, you have to maintain some of the fitness that you had this season. Unless you intend to quit your job and become a professional cyclist and train 40 hours a week. But I don't really think that's too, I don't really think that that is too realistic for most of us. So for most of us regular Joe six packs out there, the best way for us to get better is to stay better from last year. And the tips I just gave you will help you do that. All right, folks, I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank you all for going over to going over to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast on iTunes. And I want to thank all of you for going over and rating the Tailwind Coaching Podcast on iTunes. Remember, if you are looking to get a hold of me, you can email me. You can check me out on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Strava. You can listen to this podcast and the previous podcasts on Stitcher, on Blueberry, on Podbean, on iTunes, and of course, right on my website. All of this information actually is on my website at tailwind-coaching.com. Again, remember, for my listeners of the podcast, there is going to be a coupon. I believe it's going to be starting on Friday, the 25th of October. Podcast 10, podcast 10, podcast and the number 10. Okay. That is going to take 10% off your entire purchase on my Tailwind Coaching store. All right. Again, thank you all for listening. I want you to ride safe throughout whatever preseason you have planned. I want you to ride happy throughout your preseason, be it indoor or outdoor. I want you to maintain your strength and fitness that you had from last season, and I want you all to be well. Keep the rubber side down, even if it's only in your living room, and keep the shiny side up. I will be talking to you folks really soon.